Hey, look at that. It's a danger hour. We're back. We're back, baby. That's right. The most dangerous hour of casting pods is here. And I gotta tell you, I'm ready to make sweet, sweet audio love to your ear holes. That's right. I'm gonna be all up inside your ear holes. All the way inside. I got a big surprise for you, danger heads. Yep. That's right. All for the price of free. I hope you're in the mood for a, singer-songwriter, acoustic guitar type guy. Yeah, that's what we got tonight. I put an ad out in the Craigslist for, musicians to come on the show and play. And we got one. And, I read this guy's bio. And apparently he's had a rough life. Troubled soul and all that nonsense, Let's give a warm danger welcome to, what was your name again?
I go by Defiler.
Defiler?
That's what I said.
Okay. What's your real name, though?
You can call me Pete.
Okay. Pete. Pete Defiler. All right. Okay. Where are you from, man? It says you're in your little bio thing that you've had a pretty rough life.
Yeah, I'm from Irvine.
Irvine?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
No, I mean, you were born there?
That's correct. Born and raised, yep.
But why do you have an accent?
A what now?
Never mind. All right, man. So, I got to tell you, Dangerheads. This guy's kind of a rough around the edges type dude.
What's that supposed to mean?
No. I'm not insulting you. I'm just saying, I'm just talking to the people listening, man. He didn't want to play the Rapid Five. He didn't want to do that. He doesn't want to answer any questions. He just wants to play.
I let my music do my talking.
All right. Okay, let's go ahead and let's see what happens, man. What's the first thing? What are you going to play right now for everybody?
It's untitled at the moment, but like I said, I let my music do the talking for me.
Okay. I'm intrigued, I got to tell you. I hope you are too. And here we go with Defiler with Untitled.
All right, here we go. But I love the way she looks at me. She's nearly 13, but I love the way she looks at me. She sets me free, yeah, when she touches me.
Whoa, stop. What the fuck was that, dude?
What do you mean?
You're singing about touching a 12-year-old, essentially.
No, I say when she touches me.
Oh, shit. Dude, wait, are you joking right now? Are you serious?
I said I let my music do the talking.
Goddamn. You know what? I gotta ask you to go ahead and leave.
What the fuck you mean go ahead and leave? You asked me to come. I drove here from Irvine.
Yeah, I know. But you're kind of creeping me out. I mean, I got a little girl, in asleep in the other room, and I'm not down with this shit.
What room is she in?
Get the fuck out of here. Get leave. Hold on, I'm gonna get this guy out of here. We'll be right back. No! Alrighty, how you doing, boys and girls and lady boys and lady girls, whatever the fuck you are, whoever you are, and wherever you are. How you doing? I just got rid of that clown. Fucking Pete Defiler. Wait, hold on. Pete Defiler. Pedophiler. Pedophile. Pedophiler! I cracked his code. Look at this guy. What a fucking scumbag. There it is. Beer number two. Dos Equis. Look at that. All right, boys and girls. Speaking of beer, St. Patrick's Day just passed not too long ago. And I got to tell you something. I went out to celebrate with my lovely wifeies. And, we took the kids. Wait, hold on. Backtrack. The kids were already with my in-laws, and they live in the hills of Chino. So we went to this place. Our plan was to go pick them up on Sunday. So I'm like, hey, let's go to an Irish pub for a little while and be festive and have a few drinks and then go pick up the kids and drive home. No, after we went back to the place, we hung out for a while to sober up. All right. Okay. Take it easy. Anyway, so we go to this place in the hills of Chino called Dylan's Irish Pub. Now, I got to tell you something. When we first pull up, there's a fucking line outside like it's a nightclub. Oh, Christ. I feel like a douchebag because, first of all, I don't want to stand in the line like an asshole outside. But it's like, okay, where are we going to go? We already committed ourselves to go to an Irish pub. And although you might be saying, but how many Irish pubs are in Chino Hills, James? There actually is another one. But it's kind of a shitty place. I've been there before it was called an Irish pub. And I don't know. I wanted to go to this new place, Dylan's. So I'm like, all right, let's go there. So we waited in the fucking bullshit line for like 15 minutes and we got in. Oh, take it back. While we're standing out there waiting to get in the fucking place, I'm already feeling like a dickhead, you know? Like, I shouldn't even bother going. Like, you know, you have to feel like, oh, I've got to be important to get in here. So that already, automatically kind of turned me off. Like, I don't want to earn this shit. I just want to walk into a fucking bar, you know? There was no cover or anything. You just, oh, there's too many people in there. The fire marshal will get upset. Anyway, so we're waiting out there. These guys come out and they walk up to their car, which is a Mercedes-Benz, by the way. Oh! And they're wobbling. They're obviously shit-faced, right? And this guy, the main dude, goes, oh, bro, I'm so fucking wasted. I shouldn't be driving. It's like, oh, fucking A. And he's saying it loud as shit, you know, for the attention. And, you know, there's a bunch of girls in line, so that's all they want, the attention. A couple of douchebags. And, you know, people were just looking at them, and you can tell, like, oh, shut the fuck up. You know, all of them were thinking they're, like myself, thinking they're just, well, I already said it, douchebags. And, you know, they get in their car and they start blasting Sublime. You know, they're about 20 years too late. Start singing these songs out loud, like karaoke, and they're sitting right there in the parking lot. And, you know, then they back up and they speed off in this parking lot, you know, 15 miles per hour zone. And a cop just barely missed them. I was sad about that. They took off and the cop turned the corner. And I was like, God, cop, why couldn't you be here at least a minute ago? You would have had those fuckheads. Anywho, the point is with those dudes is Chino Hills is full of those motherfuckers, all right? Chino Hills is like a breeding ground for rich fuckhead kids, you know, that don't do anything. All they do is, they got their parents' money to back their play. And, you know, they're assholes. They're huge egos of self-entitlement. And they walk around like they own every fucking place they go. You know, I might sound a little angry because, I'm not really angry. I'm sick of looking at these people. And they walk up to the bar and they just fucking bully their way around. And it's frustrating to watch. And, you know, it's like society is collapsing. No, I'm just kidding. It's just like they have no fucking manners. No manners at all. They have no respect for anybody else. And that shit drives me crazy. You know what I mean? I fucking hate it. On a related topic, I took my kids to the park the other day and there was a kid there who had no fucking... This is how I found out that my kids are well-behaved and they're good kids. This is how I really realized it. This happened 2 days ago. And the events that transpired showed me how good my kids are. Because this little Asian girl, doesn't matter that she's Asian. I'm just painting you a little picture in your fucking head. She walks up. And, you know, my boy, he can talk, but he's not the best talker. He's developing a little slow when it comes to the speech. But hey, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions here. Einstein couldn't even fucking, what, he couldn't talk to, he was like, what, 4 or 5? Or was it walk? I don't remember what it was. And look what he did. So my kid is trying to say, what did she say? What did he say? She's not letting me use it. I think in regards to these like binoculars that they have on a fucking playground. And he says, she's not letting me use it. And she's like, what does that mean? She looks at me. What does she's not letting me use it mean? That doesn't mean anything. What's he even saying? It doesn't mean anything. And I'm like, you. And I wanted to strangle this fucking kid, you know? And, you know, but you can't because it's kind of frowned upon in society to abuse children. So anyways, while she's talking her shit, my daughter looks at me
with this look on her face like, what the fuck is her problem, daddy? Why is she being a bitch? That's what the look on my kid's face was. And I'm like, wow. I knew at that moment that my kid, that they're good. Because even my boy was looking at me like, what is fucking happening here? Why is she acting like this? This is not right. They both had that look on their face. And I was like, wow. And I felt proud at that moment. Like, I'm doing something right. Because this little shitty, cunty fucking bitch, as in the little Asian girl, who's like 7 years old, had like zero respect, super fucking rude, and no regard for anyone's feelings, you know? And hey, yeah, she's 7 years old. She probably shouldn't be expected to be that advanced when it comes to feelings and emotions and you know, common decency. But my kids have that because they looked at me and I seen it all over their fucking face. And all I'm going to tell you is, I mean, I'm not gloating. A little bit I am, I think. That, you know, I'm just noting that right now. That I realized that I'm doing something good with these kids because they obviously had that look of like, all right, this kid's a douchebag. That's not how you're supposed to act. And I like that shit. I fancy that. Anyway, so these douchebags in Chino Hills. Anyway, so forget about those fucking dickheads. So we go in the bar, finally get in. And I got to tell you something. This, it's an Irish pub, like I said. They had leprechauns there. Okay. Now, can you imagine what I mean by leprechauns? Yep, you guessed it, boys and girls. Midgets. Midgets in green suits with little top hats on. With little buckles in their hats. I'm not fucking around. Real bona fide midgets. Now, I did not like this, okay? Didn't like it, Sam, I am. I felt bad for these people because it's like they're being degraded. You know, they're giving their... Here's some money. Go dance, little monkey. You know what I mean? It's pretty fucked up. It's dehumanizing, demoralizing, and demidgetizing, I think. That's a word. But it did not stop me from taking a picture with one of them. At first, you know, I walk in. I'm like, oh, that's fucked up. I tell my wife, too. I'm like, that's fucked. Why? You know, they volunteered to get paid for this. They're not getting forced to do it. You know, they want to do it. I was like, well, I guess, but it's still pretty fucked up. I don't know. It just seems wrong to me. And after a couple of beers, I'm like, hey, where's the midget? Let's get a picture with him. I got on board with it. I don't know. I think, you know what? Does alcohol just totally... Is that the problem? Does alcohol fuck society? You forget all you stand for when you have a couple of drinks? It's like, eh, who cares? Maybe. Won't stop me from drinking, though. And on that note, bottoms up, people. Anyway, there was a shitload of drunk people in this fucking place. I'm talking, the place was packed. Hundreds of people in this place. And there was so many drunk people, right? They were playing kind of shitty music, though. I got to tell you that. They had a DJ. The music was not good. At least the time I was there. This guy, Fabian. Shout out to Fabian. He's, you know, he listens once in a while, I guess. He was there, but he went later. And I think he had a great fucking time. But I went early because I got to pick up my kids. So, you know, at the time, the music was like, pretty weak. But it didn't stop people from dancing and shit and, you know, all the girls walking around, blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing was a lot of people want to take pictures when they're drunk. And, you know, oh, let's take pictures for Instagrams and the Facebooks. And, you know, I got to tell you something. I started amusing myself because I would purposely photobomb all these fucking people. They'd be like, oh, let's take a picture. A lot of them are taking pictures with the midget. And I'd be in the background. I'd be making faces in the background. And no one even noticed me once. And, you know, I fancy that once again. It sucks because I won't ever reap the benefits of this. I'll never see these pictures. Oh, well, maybe I can go on the Instagrams and go in the hashtags of like Dylan's. And maybe I can remember to pop up. Maybe I'll be there. Try it. Maybe you'll find me. And if you do, send it to me because I want to see. Anyway, speaking of drunks, here's what I want to get to. So we're at the bar. My wife is like, I want some fries. I'm getting a little hungry. I want to eat some fries. So we get like a little basket of fries and we're at the bar. There's two bars. There's one on the front. It's the bigger one. And there's a smaller one on the back. And we're standing. It's like, you know, typical bar where it's like, you know, long. And then it curves like this little piece that curves or bends. I don't know. Forgive me. I'm retarded. I can't speak. I can't paint you a mental imagery portrait-y thing. So we're at the part that bends with enough space for three people. But just two of us are there. We're eating the fries. We're having our drinks. And this dude walks up, and he's obviously shit-faced because he's just swaying back and forth. And he stands next to my wife at the bar trying to get a drink. And he's at the very fucking edge of the bar where the bartenders walk in and out, you know? And so we're eating the fries, we're just drinking, we're bullshitting. And I look, I'm out of the corner of my eye, I'm watching this fucking guy because he's drunk as shit. And it's kind of funny to me, but I also think, like, this guy seems like he's up to something. I don't know what it is, but I soon found out. So I see this dickhead out of the corner. My wife's telling me a story. And out of the corner of my eye, I see his fucking eyeballs look towards my the plate of fries. And they lay lock on. It's like, and he fucking slowly but surely puts his hands on the plate and grabs some fries, thinking that I did not see this fucking dickhead. You know, my wife is not even looking his direction. She's looking at me, talking to me. But I was like... And when he grabs the fries, he puts them in his mouth real fast. And I like lean, I go, excuse me, hold on. I tell my wife. And I lean past her and make eye contact with the guy. And he looks at me like, oh, fuck, I'm busted. And I go, hey, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm laughing at the time, right? I'm not mad. I'm not being a dickhead. But I'm like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, oh. And I go, look, man, if you want some fries, ass, we'll give you some. But don't be fucking taking them off the plate. Like, what's the matter with you? And so, you know, I go, here, I pull a, I get a handful of fries. I go, here you go. Hey, bro, it feels like you're like, I'm a charity case, man. No, you know, he goes, hey, it feels like I'm a homeless guy. Like you're trying to feed me. And it's like, dude, whatever. Here's your fries. So, you know, if you want more, ask me. Don't be taking them off the plate.
All right.
That didn't stop this fucking guy. Again, he took some off the plate and I was like, all right. You know, he's drunk as fuck. I don't care that much. You know, it's kind of annoying. Have a stranger, who knows where his fingers were. He could have been picking his asshole. And here he is, you know, grabbing fries off the plate. That's a little, you know, it bugs me. But it didn't bug me enough because, you know, the circumstances are there's a drunk dickhead. And I'm going to start shit over some fries, you know. Who gives a fuck? But the funny thing that happened was he was trying to signal the bartender. And she was kind of avoiding him on purpose, you can tell. But finally she couldn't look away from him. She had to acknowledge him. And she's like, yes, what can I help you with?
He's like, I'll take another, you know, whiskey on the rocks.
She's like, no, you're done.
What? What are you talking about?
She's like, you're done. And this guy comes up. Yeah, bro, you're done. Sorry, man. We can't serve you no more.
He's like, fine. I'll be on my way.
And she's like, hold on here. Here's your card. You know, sign your check.
All right.
She gives him the pen. Now, I'm looking at this guy because it takes all his fucking dedication to put this pen on the paper to sign it. Now he signs the, and I seen the bill. It said $10. That's all it came up to. This guy writes on the tip $2 and the total $33. It was a $10 bill. He tipped her $2 and wrote the total of $33. And then he signed it. Now I'm just thinking, what happens in that circumstance? I mean, it's fucking hilarious. But do they actually take that money? I mean, what happens there? He wrote $2 in the tip, and of course it's not going to add up. But what does the restaurant do in that circumstance? Do they just take the 12, or do they go for the whole fucking 33? I don't know. But he left, he walks away. Oh, first, before he walks away, he takes extra concentration to grab his cup, you know, his last drink that he had in the bar, and he grabs it and he just stumbles away. My wife took a picture of that check, and I'm going to post that shit on the internet, on the interwebs, because goddamn, that shit was funny. Anyways, to wrap this whole fucking thing up, then I go to the bathroom before we got to leave to go, you know, go back to the in-laws' house. And I go take a piss. My wife goes and takes a piss too. And for some reason, the girls' bathrooms, the line was shorter than the guys. So she goes in. I go in after. When I come out, I open the door, and she's standing right there waiting for me. And just to be silly, I walked straight from the fucking bathroom right up to her, complete confidence, completely fucking straight line, you know, no hesitation. I went, I grab her, I fucking dip her, and I give her a sexy kiss, dude. Just to fuck with her, you know? And this guy happened to be, like, standing there. He's, you know, he's a drunk fucking guy. And when I pick her up, this guy thinks I just walked out of the bathroom to kiss some random chick, which is awesome. And he goes, oh, shit, bro. That was fucking badass, dude. You are the man. And I was like, I wink at him, right? And go like, let's go. And I walk with the, and I walk with the girl, and he's like, oh shit. So this guy thinks I'm a fucking legend. And, you know, it was a cool way to end the night. It was nice. You can't make this stuff up, people. And, you know, it was a cool night. But, you know, I got to tell you, Killarney's Irish Pub in Riverside, way fucking better when it comes to St. Paddy's Day. We went there a couple years back. Now, they actually, it's actually a cool fucking pub. It looks really legit inside, like you're stepping to Ireland. Oh, I've never been to Ireland, but I'd imagine that's how it looks. And you walk outside of this place during St. Paddy's Day, and they got the whole fucking parking lot roped off. I mean, like, well, not roped off, fenced in. It's like very professionally done. It's all barricaded in, and they got multiple stages out there. They got porta potties outside. They got fucking multiple bars everywhere, and there's dudes in kilts walking around. There's bagpipe dudes, and they got like those, you know, you might be a hater, but I like them. The Mumford & Sons style band. They got bands like, you know, the Irish fucking bands. They're up there playing. It's fucking badass when we went. The only thing that sucked is they had a cover charge, which was like $5 if you get there before 7, I think, which is what we did. But Dylan's had no cover. But, you know, the big, huge difference, okay? I'm going to tell you right now. If you're going for the experience of Irish and going for the music and going for, you know, the atmosphere, you got to do Killarney's. But where Dylan's has Killarney's beat hands fucking down is the hot chicks. Christ, you cannot compare. I got to tell you, in Riverside, okay, I know, it's Riverside. Trust me, I know, relax. Sucks. You know, in Riverside, I've seen some hot chicks, but at that, you know, Killarney's Irish Pub and St. Paddy's Day, there was not a single attractive girl, I don't think. Maybe like two or three. But at this Chino Hill spot, God damn. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay? If you're a single dude, you want to meet girls, if you got a little bit of money, because that's probably what they want, if you can compete with these white boys, and you just take a group of buddies with you, just in case, and, you know, scout these joints out, because I got to tell you, holy shit. That's all I'm going to say. I'm a happily married man, but oh my God, so many hot chicks in there. That's it. Okay, I'm done. And now it's time for danger updates. All right, people. I just got a few updates. First one is, do you remember I talked about this story about the tasting games, about this fucking teacher? You know, he taught for 32 years, okay? Who knows how long this guy was doing this? You know, a select few have come forward. And then more have come forward once they found out that the others came forward. Because, you know, once, you know, the brave ones come forward first, and the rest are like, or not the rest, but, you know, some more are like, hey, you know what? You know, he came out and he finally uncovered this fucking, this dark secret. So I'm going to come out too. This guy was feeding his students. I'm pretty sure they were like, you know, elementary students. Yeah, they were. He was feeding them his semen. Ugh. Calling it the tasting games. He'd put his fucking loads on like cookies or like on spoons, and he'd have all the kids, like, you know, wear blindfold or something, and then like, all right, here's the game, taste it. And yeah, this fucking creep. So it turns out that you know, these students, I think there's 58 of them, are being awarded $470,000 on account of this asshole. And I think the school district has to pay. So doesn't that mean the taxpayers are gonna pay this? You know what I mean? They gotta clean up this fucking weirdo's mess. Goddamn, 32 years and fuck as a teacher, and who knows how many kids. And you know, a lot of these dudes are not coming out. You know, they wouldn't come forward. I probably wouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, if this shit happened to me. Oh, it happened to me too. Next thing you know, you're in the paper, probably on the news and shit. The people you work with, your friends, your family, everyone knows about it. Is that worth the money? Maybe. I don't know. Go get a new house at a different state where no one knows you, I guess. Yeah, fuck it. I would do it. I'd probably eat semen for $470,000. Why not? I mean, as long as the guy's clean, doesn't have nothing he can contract, or I can contract, it should be fine. I mean, it's real quick. You swallow and you're done, and you get all that money. You know what you can do with that much money? Almost a $500,000 fucking dollars? Ugh. If you played your cards right, you can have a happy long life. With no worries. If you played your cards right. I would totally eat some guy's load. For sure. Dude, why am I feeling bad for these kids? They made out. They didn't even know what was going on. You know what I mean? The young kids are swallowing loads. Like, it's candy. It's salty candy. Whatever. They don't know the difference until they get older. It's like, that's what he was doing to us? Then you can get creeped out about it, I guess, but it's already like way behind you. So who fucking cares after this? Hand me my money. You know what? I'm going to step forward and say I was part of that fucking brigade. The semen brigade. All I'm telling you, I guess what I want to tell you is if someone out there wants me to swallow the load for $500,000, I'm down. All right? Send me an email at thedangerhour@yahoo.com. I'll get back to you for sure. All right, next up, alley condoms. You know, believe this shit? How is it? I worked in another alley recently, and I found another, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show before, I found another used condom just hanging out in this little alley. I'm talking like an alley, like, you know, behind the, like an apartment building, not like in a street. I'm talking like, you know, fucking apartment building right behind the alley. All the windows, you can see the alley from the fucking rooms. Is that what it's called? Is it called an alley? I don't know. The area behind an apartment complex. And, you know, I've seen it a few times, like just used condoms laying there. Full. And I just don't get it. I know the alley thing is very romantic. Every woman strives to get the alley treatment. But I mean, as a decent human being, why wouldn't you get rid of that shit? You know what I mean? Have the decency. Why would you just, I don't know. Am I the only dickhead that thinks of like, what if a kid finds it? You know what I mean? It's fucking dirty. At least, what, bury it? I don't know. Do something. Just leave it there. If I was a cop, I'd get that shit. I'd test it for DNA and then I'd bust your ass for that. After I tasted it, of course. To prep myself for my money. No, I just don't get it. I don't understand people doing this shit, you know. Have sex, fine. I get the whole thrill of it. Oh, let's have sex and not get caught. We could get caught any second. That's what's so hot about it. I understand. Hey, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there. My wife and I used to, do you want to hear about this? I'll tell you. We used to, you know, before when we were young, we used to go take little drives and park behind industrial buildings that were all abandoned. By abandoned, I mean it was late, no one's working, so they were empty. I mean, I had to have my own fucking place. Didn't have my own room. I told you about when I grew up, how my room was temporary. The room I was in was people just walk in at all fucking times. You know? I had to do what I had to fucking do. But this one time we got caught by a cop. We didn't really get caught in the middle of it. We were driving back home and, you know, it's a dead fucking little street. And the cop pulls us over like, hey, what are you doing here? He sees us in the car. He sees the blanket and shit. He's like, he goes, look, the way he said it, like he knew the way he looked at us. He fucking knew. It's like, look, don't come around here. He's like, you know, there could be a lot of creeps around here. He said that word too. A lot of creeps. You know, just go somewhere else. Have a good night. But hey, we kept our, you know, what do you call it? We kept our used equipment and disposed of it properly. Did we? Maybe I just threw out the window too. I think I did, in the bushes. All right, fine. You guys dropped the hook in the alley. Just throw them in bushes at least. All right, last thing is this movie I've seen. It's called Robot and Frank. This is in lieu of the robot talk we had on the last show, I believe, Lito and I. This is another movie that proves this robot epidemic is going to happen, and it's going to go the way that Hollywood says it's going to go. This movie is not like, you know, there's no killer robots, but there's a robot that's like a helper, because this guy has a, what is it called? Fucking A. How ironic that I forget what it's called when you lose your memory. Alzheimer's or dementia, one of those fucking things. He's got the beginning stages of that. Or maybe he's into it a little bit. Ah, who cares? So the son, it's in the future. The son gets him a helper robot to help him out. And, you know, the robot's like, hello, I forgot its name. Hello, Dave, let's say. You know, you should take a walk. It'll get your mind flowing, you know, it'll help exercise your brain, all this shit. The robot's helping him. So the guy happens to be a retired cat burglar. And he teaches a robot how to break into places, like pick locks and shit. It's a fucking cool concept. The movie is okay. It's not great. It's an interesting little rental, you know, if you're ever bored one night. It's a little bit indie. But, you know, it's a good rental, I'll say that. Redbox, $1, it's well worth it. So, you know, I guess I'm going to blow it for you. It's still worth watching, though. But, anyways, the robot pretty much starts giving him tips on how he can get away with stuff. You know, the cops are onto him, and the robot's like, hey, you better do this and that. You should do this. Ah, fuck it, I'll just tell you. The robot says, you better erase my memory, because they can check, you know, they can download my memory and see everything we've talked about and everything we've done, because I've recorded everything in my head. So you better erase my memory so you get away with it. It just goes to show you, you know, the robot is programmed to do one thing. But he has this, not feelings, but he understands, like, hey, I get it. You'll get away with it if you, you know, erase my fucking mind and then reprogram me. Because the guy says, you know, I have no feelings, so I'm not going to really, it is not going to matter. I'll just, you know, I'll be rebooted and then it'll start all over again. But that just goes to show you they have some kind of fucking consciousness there. And that's what's scary. I mean, it's cool in that story, but I mean, where does it go from there? I'm just fucking telling you, dude. It's going to happen. The robots are going to take over. And we all knew it. We all see it coming. And it pisses me off because so many jobs are getting lost to advancement and technology. Because, hey, like we can have it be electronically done. Why do we need people working? People, you know, they get lazy. They call in. They get errors. A robot will be more efficient, more productive, you know, less money, less, you know, no benefits to pay for. It's the perfect fucking thing if you're a business owner. I get it. At the same time, it's also fucking the world. You know, people are getting unemployed all left and right. There's jobs getting lost all over. The fucking post office is going down. The post office. Who needs mail anymore? That's all I'm saying. Technology is great, but it's also going to be the death of us. You all know it. And if you don't, think about it. We're going down. See you in hell, bastards. Nah, that's it. I'm done. Fuck it. I'll get off my soapbox now. What the fuck do I know? This is all over my head. I'm just talking out of my ass. Because there's a microphone in front of me. All right, now it's time for a drink. So, you know, go about your business for a few seconds. All right, next up, I got a little segment called Stranger Danger. People are strange when you're a stranger. All right, thanks, Jim Morrison. That was great. And here we go. First of all, this is strange. Maybe a little fucked up, maybe. Maybe more so than strange. A man was jailed for 23 years. 23 years. And all of a sudden, oh! You know, this evidence is a little bit corruptible. I don't think it stands. It's not very truthful. I don't know. He's found not guilty after all these years. So they free him, right? Now here's the fuck you. He's free. Oh my God, this is great. The next day, he has a heart attack. I don't know if he's dead. Last I read, he wasn't dead, but who knows now? But what an ironic twist of events. Huh? Spent your whole life, well, not the whole life, but a big-ass majority of it, locked up, wishing to be free. The day after you're out, done. That's a big fuck you. That's the ultimate fuck you. Okay, next up I got, Birmingham, Alabama. In an airport, Birmingham Airport, I believe, an arrival slash departure sign weighing between 300 and 400 pounds just for no fucking reason falls and lands on top of a family. And it fucking kills a 10-year-old boy. He's dead. A sign fell on him. He's fucking dead. I guess he missed his flight. He's got a one-way trip somewhere. Oh, too soon. Anyways, you know, the whole, I don't know. My thought on that is like, you, as a parent, you know, you try to raise your kids. You try to instill all these great values and try to have them be good people, thoughtful of others, you know. Unlike that cunty Asian girl at the park, don't be rude. Like I said, be respectful. Just be good fucking people, you know. Do the right thing. Inspire, all that shit. And, you know, you try your hardest, you try your damnedest to keep them safe, healthy. And can you imagine after all, you know, it's 10 years of work and then he gets killed by a fucking sign that falls down. That's it. That's how your son gets killed. Isn't that fucked up? He didn't even have the decency to get shot or like, you know, hit by a car. It's got to be a sign fell on him. That's really fucked up. It's like, what a waste. All this work I put in, all this time and money. And that's how my kid dies. God, I'm a dickhead tonight, huh? No, part of me thinks that, like, you know, that's how your kid dies, by a sign falling on him. It just doesn't seem like, you know, I don't know. How anticlimactic? Like nothing really, nothing. It's just so bizarre. That's how you lose someone. Out of all the fucking reasons that someone you love can get killed, a sign falls at them on them on the airport. I don't know. That's funny to me. I don't know. I guess I'm just an asshole. Asshole thought or not, I guess I'm an asshole. All right, last one. I'm sorry. A little bit. All right. Ahem. Let me talk about UFC a little bit now. If you don't care about it, then just shut up and listen. Dude, the UFC is turning into WCW. Okay? It's getting fucking phony. Here's when the sport's going to fail. Okay? It's going to get too phony. Unless people can like that. Nah, do people like that shit? I don't know. I don't like it. All this fake shit. What I mean is, this last fight, GSP versus Diaz. Yes. Diaz is talking shit like crazy, like always. And GSP finally gets pissed off, which he normally doesn't do. He's usually, you know, calm, cool, and collected. But this time he said, you know, he's going to beat his ass worse than, I don't know, was it worse than he's ever beat anyone or worse than anyone's ever been beat in the UFC? I'm going to go with the second one because it sounds tougher. But as soon as the fight's over, GSP is kissing his ass. Oh, he's a very good opponent. I have never fought anyone his style. It is very unique. There's no way to train for it. He's a very good fighter. He's a good guy. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up, dude. Come on. You were just shit-talking. You're going to beat his ass worse than you've ever beat anyone or worse than any other person's ever been beat. What the fuck you said? What is that shit? And then Diaz is all, you know, coming up to you, holding in to you, like I'm talking to him. Then Diaz is coming up to GSP and holding his arms up and shit. Come on. It's all bullshit for, you know, to sell tickets.
Well, yeah, James, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, but come on. This is supposed to be like more pure, you know, like fucking real fighting. This is not I don't know. It's not boxing and wrestling. It's fucking UFC. It's supposed to be different. Ugh. I don't like it. Don't be phony assholes hyping shit up. Anyway. Yeah, but the thing was, it was kind of funny because after the fight, I seen this video of this guy that interviewed Diaz. And he's like, hey, so, you know, what happened? What's going on with tonight's fight? And Diaz is like, you know, I don't want to make excuses, you know. He beat me. Like I said, I don't want to make excuses. But, you know, I should have got here a little earlier. I got here too late. And, you know, I slept too much. He started saying all this shit. You know, all these excuses after he said, I don't want to make any excuses. And, you know, he's obviously, you know, a great fighter. And blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I should have trained better. And, you know, I was out of it. I wasn't myself tonight.
It's like, shut up, dude.
I got too much sleep. I did this and that. Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, I want to get out of the sport. I want to get out. I want to leave. I want to retire.
And at the very end, the guy's like,
okay, well, we're out of time. So, okay, I want a rematch.
And it's like, dude, what the fuck was that? He just went on and on for like 5 good minutes about how, you know, he fucked up, how he's, you know, didn't do that well, wants to get out of the sport. He's tired of it. He's done. Ah, fuck that guy. Idiot. The good fight, though, of the night was the Hendricks fight. You know, I forgot who he fought. Was it Condit? I don't remember. But that was a good one. But I saw Hendricks before the fight. He gets like a gob of Vaseline and shoves it in his nostrils. You see that? He shoves gobs of Vaseline in his nostrils. And right away, my first thought was, I bet this dude figured out a way to get some kind of like, you know, some kind of steroid. Maybe in like, not aerosol. What do you call that shit? I don't know. Like an inhalant type drug. And he puts it in the Vaseline. And when he rubs it in his nostrils, somehow it, you know, gives him like Hulk or Bane's strength. He just, you know, kind of bulks up like, you know, in a few seconds. I don't know. Maybe it's a new drug that the UFC hasn't tested for. They don't know about it yet. And they're doing it right in plain sight. You know, right when they're about to go in the ring, they just shove this Vaseline drug in their fucking nostrils. And it pumps them up. Hey, you heard it here first, folks. I'm telling you. And let's see, what else? Speaking of that, this dude named LeVar Johnson, he gets cut from UFC for being dirty. Look at this guy. He got popped for drugs. I think like an enhancement, what is it, testosterone? What the fuck they do? I don't know. And, yeah, I was talking to Bobbert. I watched the fight with him at his with his buddy. And they were talking like how everyone does drugs and how, you know, and there's ways around getting, you know, out of the testing. And it's all about who you know and you play the game and all this shit. There's certain ways you can do it. Okay, hold on. Let me think how he said it. Oh, one of his buddies said they get on roids or enhancers or testosterone, blah, 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 blah. And they start working out and it pumps them up. It gets their body fucking crazy, ripped. And then they stop taking them like a certain amount of weeks before the fight. But it got their body at the point they need it to be. And they keep exercising on their own after that just to keep their shit up. You know, to keep themselves plateauing so they can stay that, you know, that strong or that built up, whatever the fuck it is. But they had the aid to begin with. Then they wean off that shit, and then it doesn't come up on the testing. That's apparently the trick. But yeah, I mean, after Lance Armstrong comes out and says practically that everybody fucking does it, once that's what I heard in the interview, that everybody's doing it, and you know, it's all about the people that are doing the testing. They're in on it too. Blah 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 blah. Everyone's doping. It's like, how do you not think these huge motherfuckers are not doing shit? They're enormous. How do you think they're not doing something? They got to be doing something, right? They want to win. I don't know. It's no surprise. Is this going to be like the beginning of something? Are people going to be getting popped more often? Do you think it's okay if people are shooting up, what do you call them? Steroids, all that shit. Muscle enhancers. I don't know, man. I think, does it make it more exciting? Like baseball, that argument?
Well, hey, everyone's doping. Everyone's hitting fucking monster home runs, and it makes the sport more exciting, and it sells more tickets and saves everything.
I don't know. Sure. Keep pumping yourself full of all that shit. Whatever. All right, speaking of that, an MMA fighter recently, he faked his death. You know about this guy? This guy fakes his fucking death. You know when he gets found out? He gets popped because he's robbing a gun store. Him and a couple idiots. He gets popped. His picture, his mugshot goes on the TV. And his promoter and his buddies are like, hey, what the fuck? He's supposed to be dead. The guy was like, you know, dead and buried a month before. Don't ask me what they buried. But apparently he like faked his death in some kind of car crash or something. I don't know. I mean, what, did the car have to catch on fire and incinerate completely for them to like, oh, we can't find anything. He got wiped out. I don't know how he did it, but he pulled it off for a month. What a dummy. The most fucked up thing is that like they all raise money for his funeral. You know what I mean? Like everyone thought this guy was dead, all his friends and family. He tried to like disappear. I got a good idea. Let's rob a store, dummy. That really pissed me off the most, the whole story that they helped raise money for his funeral. That's so fucked up. What a dickhead. Anyway. All right, last thing I got. It's semi-related. It's involving my kid. And not really fighting, but getting fucked up in the face. Took my kids to the park the other day, and they're going up on the slide. They like to run up the slide the backwards way. And then, you know, go up to the top and then slide back down. So they were doing that, and they would sit down. It's like a dual slide, and they would sit down together. And I'd say, all right, one, two, three, and they both slide down together. So like the third time, they're both sitting up at the top of the slide, and they're holding, like my daughter's holding hands with my son. And I go, all right, one, two, three, go. And I say, go. I lift my arm, and my daughter goes, my son's like, I'm not going this time. I'm just going to sit up here, and I'm going to go on my own terms. But my daughter's holding his hand, so when she goes down, you know, just the centrifugal force, if that's properly applied, takes him forward, and he winds up like he's sitting on his ass, but because she's going down, he totally goes all the way forward, and his face slams into like the center divider of the two slide, like the dual slide, and it looks fucking rough, and he falls at the bottom, and he falls off the bottom of the slide, and he starts freaking out. And oh shit, I gotta go down there and pick him up. And first of all, like I said in the last podcast, I forgot how many. I don't baby him. So I just like looked at him for a bit. It's like, you're all right. You're okay. But then I realized like, you know, he's not coming down from this one. So it's like, oh, he's really fucking hurt. I look at his mouth. There's blood coming out. I was like, oh, shit. So now I'm like, great. I hope there's no, you know, he doesn't need stitches and it's all fucked up. Are his teeth there? So I have him open his mouth and I see his teeth are all there. I'm like, all right, fine. We go to, you know, the water fountain. He starts washing his mouth out, and the water fountain's backed up. It starts overflowing. So I'm like, let's just go home. We go home. He's crying the whole time. On the way to the car, this kid insults me. He goes, I want my mommy. And I'm like, dude, kid, who the fuck am I? I'm here. What's she going to do that I can't? I want mommy. Mommy. And, you know, a part of me was like, don't be a little bitch, dude. Come on. Mommy. What a cop out. So we go home, take him to the bathroom. He's still fucking, you know, kind of freaking out, but he's kind of, you know, calmed down a bit. So have him wash his hands, wash his mouth and shit. And then I'm rubbing his lips, the inside of his lips. I'm like, does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. And meanwhile, this kid's lip has doubled in size and turned purple. Ugh, it did not look good, people. And he goes, Daddy. What? I want to watch a movie.
I think my point is I don't think he's gay anymore. I think he's a tough motherfucker. Right? If you're tough, you're not gay, right? I don't know. Thought the shit was funny. You get your face pop open and you want to watch a movie. Okay, I've done rambling. Let's go ahead and close this shit out. And let's start with I fancy that. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's I fancy that.
Fancy.
Okay. Here's what I fancy. It's a game. It's called Tecmo Bowl Throwback. That's right. Tecmo Bowl, the one from when we were kids. Although I don't really remember Tecmo Bowl. I remember Tecmo Super Bowl, which is what Peter Monkey, he had that game on Nintendo, original Nintendo. And we would play that fucking game all the time. And it was awesome. So I'm like browsing the PS3. I hardly ever do this. I was browsing the PS3 games, you know, the new, the featured, the on sale, all of them. So I stumbled upon Tecmo Bowl. I'm like, holy shit, no way. And it's on PS3, and I think it was like $5. I want to say it was like $4.99. Tecmo Bowl Throwback. It's the old game, but it's updated. You know, you can play it the old way with the old-ass graphics, or you can play the new and improved style. Which, of course, I'm going to say I like playing that one. Because the old one, the graphics are pretty shitty. But it's such a good fucking game. It really, really is. I mean, I haven't played too many new football games at all. But I got to tell you. You know, a lot of times these old classic games are better than new ones. I mean, it's really fucking fun. And there's even more. The other night, I finally got a hold of my cousin Dominic.
Who?
Dominic, I said. Who? I said Dominic.
Who?
Okay. He lives in Alaska, Coast Guard. And hardly see the guy, obviously, because he's in Alaska. But it was great because I told him about the game. He's like, oh shit, it's on there. I'm going to get it. So he finally got it. We had never played yet until like this last weekend that just passed. I hit him up like, hey, dude, real quick, how about a game? He's like, yeah, for sure. Let's do it. So finally the stars aligned. You know, we get each other going. I put my fancy pants headset on that he insisted that I purchase like years ago to play Call of Duty. And when he was in Florida, and we played a few times, but not too often. And it was awesome. Anyway, so we play Tecmo Bowl. We got the headset on. And I'm playing this fucking cool old school game with my cousin, who's nearly 4,000 miles away. I mean, oh, James, you can do that with every game. Yeah, I know. But there was something more special about it because it was like like a childhood game. And just the fact that this dude's way over there, and we're playing football, Tecmo fucking Bowl, and we're shit-talking. It was great. It was fucking fun. We're talking about all kinds of... It's awesome. It's like a way to beat, like... Not like I care about phone minutes anymore, because, you know, who gives a shit? Everyone's kind of over that, right? I don't think anyone's, like, checking their minutes anymore, right? I think everyone's got their... They're satisfied with what they got in their phone plan. And, but it's a cool thing. Like, you're talking through a video game. Call me old school. This shit still blows my mind. Stupid shit like that. But yeah. I want to say I fucking fancy the hell out of Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl. I fancy that. All right. And now it's time for the darker side of life. It's time for the fuck you moment. And here we go. Okay. You know what? I gotta finish my beer real quick before I crack my last one. Should I leave all this stuff in because it's real?
It's reality. I mean, I just want to keep it real, you know? That's all I want to do.
Real talk. All right. Cheers to... Yeah, you know what? I'll save it for the end. Here's cheers to what I'm going to say in a little bit. Okay. My fuck you. My fuck you goes to, believe it or not, Tecmo Bowl. I've been playing this game a lot lately. Like I said, I don't play too many video games. I'm not a big gamer. No, I'm not a real big gamer. But I've been hooked on this game recently. I went, I played by the season. I got to the championship the first time I played, and I lost the first championship game. I got the second time I played, I got to the championship game, and I lost the first one. I'm currently in my third season. So far, so good. You know, I think I'm like 10-4. Pretty good. But, you know, I was undefeated for like the first 7 games, and I lost 3 in a fucking row. Oh, man. That was brutal. Here's my point. I want to say fuck you to this Tecmo Bowl game because it's a cheating-ass game. It drives me fucking crazy. I'll be doing really well on other games, you know? Other teams, I mean. And there'll be one team that just seems to cheat like fucking hell. Like, I'll be, I'll be on my drive. I'll be going down. Here's at the 50. I throw a 20-yard pass at the 30. All right, I'm at the 10. Here it comes. Here's my touchdown pass. Fumble on the fucking 5-yard line. They pick it up. And I lose the ball. This shit happens too many fucking times. Or, like, I'll be down. And I'll be down by, like, you know, 6 points. All I need is 1 touchdown to win. And there's, like, 3 minutes left in the last quarter. It's like, God damn it. And if you don't know, the quarters go by, like, double fast. Like, the seconds go by, like, tick, 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 really fast. And so, then I'll be like, oh, I'm not going to win. I'm done. And then that team will fumble or I will get an interception. I'm like, fuck yeah. I got a chance. I'm going to pull it off. And, like, the next play, I'll throw interception. And it's, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you never played this shit, you're like, I don't care about this. But if you've played, you know what I'm talking about. I'll throw the ball and it will go nowhere near where it's supposed to be going. It'll go right into the hands of the other team. Interception! And the guy runs it. Or it's a fucking, I fumble it. It's just bullshit, dude. It really drives me fucking crazy. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not exaggerating. I got 6 interceptions the last game I played. No, not the last one, like 3 games ago. I couldn't believe that. And I was getting so, and I get so angry, dude. I get so frustrated. I get so, like, anxious when I'm playing. I can feel the blood pulsing through my body. Like, I just get, like, I want it so bad. It's weird. It's like I'm a real coach. It's like I'm playing, like, the big game, like a Super Bowl. I don't know why I'm like this. I don't get it. But I get really fucking anxious. And I get, you know, it's a lot of time you put into this one game. It's like you put in a good 15 minutes and then it could all be for shit. It could all be like you lose because the computer fucks you over somehow. And it does. It drives me nuts, dude. It drives me fucking nuts. And my wife the other night, like, I was playing with Dominic. Who? She's going to go to bed. And I was like, all right, I'm going to play one more game and then I'll go to bed. And it was like 1 or 1:30. We just finished watching a movie. And then, she goes to bed and I go to play one game and here comes Dominic. Whoo! He hits me up again. Hey, let's play. You're still awake? I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I wound up staying up till 4:30 in the morning playing fucking football with this guy. And I was so drunk, I don't remember the last hour or two. I can't remember if I won or not. I probably didn't. But apparently I was yelling like a dickhead. I felt bad about that. Anyway, dude, I'm going off. I'm fucking rambling now. My point is I want to say fuck you to that game, okay? Because I love it and I hate it at the same time. Because it fucks me over so many times. So many times. Oh, but the cool thing is I named my team the Danger Hour. And I named some players. I like Alito's gay. Super Dick is one of my players. Eddie Gears is a player. Chuby is a player. Nature Boy, he's my kicker. Peter, Monkey Boy, they're all there. So, yeah, you know what? I can't be too mad at this fucking game because it's great. But at the same time, I want to say, hey, Tecmo Bowl, fuck you.
Fuck you!
All right, people, that's going to be it. I'm done. But I want to tell you something. I have to go to bed soon. Well, I got to take a shower real quick. I got to finish my clothes in the dryer. I got to do that. I got to go to bed because I'm going to Vegas in the morning. That's right. I'm going to Vegas. I'm Vegas bound. You know why? You're not going to believe this. Tomorrow is my daughter's birthday. Today is Monday, 25th. I'm recording it now because I'm going to be gone for the next couple of days. But the reason we're going to Vegas is because, and I'm not joking, and I can't believe we're actually doing it because it's very, we just booked the hotel today. That's how last fucking minute it is. Okay? But yesterday, my wife asked my daughter, what do you want for your birthday? No, she says, where do you want to go for your birthday? And this is what she fucking says. I want to go to Las Vegas. She said Lost. She thinks it's Las Vegas. So fucking cute. I want to go to Las Vegas. And, you know, she said that and like we started laughing and I was like, hey, let's fucking do it. And she's like, you're crazy. And I was like, no, dude, she would love it. She'll love seeing all the crazy, like the big fucking, you know, buildings, the statues, all the shit, the flames and the shows, the pirate fucking Treasure Island, you know, the Flame of the Mirage, the Bellagio thing, all the hotels. There's so much. I can imagine being a kid doing going to Vegas for the first time. I mean, when I went to Vegas as a kid, it wasn't as fucking cool as it is now. I mean, for a kid. So fuck it. We're going to go. She'll get a kick out of all of it. Sleeping in a hotel. She's going to love it. It's going to be great. And, I'm excited to do this for her, and it's going to be fun, and it's weird going to Vegas, like, not to party, you know what I mean? Normally you go to Vegas to party or to basically just to fucking drink. That's what I do. Drink my ass off and walk around and just bar hop and, you know, eat and just be with your buddies or your family or whoever the fuck you're with, and that's always a good time, but it's going to be strange going to Vegas for the purpose of, you know, for the kids. I'll tell you what, I actually booked a room at the Excalibur because I told her, like, hey, you're going to sleep in a castle. She got all fucking excited. Dude, it's fun, dude, actually to be a parent and to be doing this shit. I'm going to take you to a castle. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I'm getting soft. But some of the people out there can appreciate what I'm talking about. It's going to be cool as fuck. If you're out there, if you have like nieces or, you know, daughters yourself, you know what I'm talking about. You're right there with me. It's going to be great. And, you know, I'm gonna enjoy myself. And it's going to be a little mini vacation, 2 days. And I'll be back. And, you know, maybe I'll tell you about it if you're lucky. So that's going to do it. This is the Danger Hour. Thanks for accompanying me on my journey of fucking babble. And hope you went lasted this long. Hope you lasted this long. Hope you didn't prematurely eject. All right, that's enough for me. You know what, people? Thank you for joining me. And as always, stay dangerous, my friends.